yesterday. There were a group of us who were here at church and then went down to the boardwalk in Long Beach, of course, and my daughter-in-law was there with a couple of the grandkids, four of her kids, all four of them. And so my oldest granddaughter came up and said, "I want to be on Papa's team today." So I'm like, "All right, Cameron, come on, you're going to be on my team today." So the idea is just to go out, like we said last Sunday, go out into the community and share God's light and God's love with the people around. God's called us not just to stay in the secret place, not just stay in this gathering place inside the walls, but to get outside and go into the public place, to go to the busy place where there's a lot of people and share his light and love there. So, you know, I said to Cameron, that's what we want to do. So we went to a few different people and met a guy who said, "Yeah, you know, I used to study the Bible in college, went to this Bible study. Is that what it's called? Yeah, I went to a Bible study with my friends, but I kind of drifted from that and I didn't really know." So we got to pray with him and his wife and daughter. And we sat down and tried to talk to someone else. And I said, "You know, is it okay if we talk, like, you know, talk for a minute?" She's like, "Sure." We start talking and I explained what we were trying to do. And she said, okay. All right. No, thank you. Okay, that's cool. Frank taught us you get a green light, you get a yellow light, or you get a red light, right? So somebody puts up the red light. Listen, we're not trying to harass people. We're just trying to share love with them. And so after an hour or however long we were out, it was time to rendezvous and come back. And I think it was 2:00. And I was talking to Frank. I said, "Okay, yeah, here was my experience. We're kind of debriefing. Here's, you know, some of the people that Cameron and I got to talk to." I said, "Yeah, it wasn't like the heavens parted and we had this amazing experience, but it was kind of cool to just watch and trust God to say, I'm just going to sow a seed, or maybe God's called me to water in this one person's life, or, you know, the increase comes from the Lord." Amen. Pastor Greg used to say, you know, we can't control the wind, but we can set our sails. And only God can make the wind to blow. So all we can do is set our sails and be available and be positioned to use and say, "God, it's up to you. You cause fruit to grow. I can just maybe cultivate, but you're the one who does it. Even if I do all this hard work and everything, only you can make it grow." And so we were leaving, and then I saw somebody walk by, and I said, "Man, this is the third time I've seen this person walk by." I'm like, you know, third time. So maybe I'm supposed to speak up here. And I want to tell you, I walked up to this young lady, Cameron and I, and I don't even know what we said. Maybe Gabby can tell you what we said because she's sitting right there. But about 22-23 hours ago, we walked up to her and said, "You know, we've seen you walk by several times, and we just think we're supposed to talk to you." And come to find out, she's like, "Man, this is so amazing that you're talking to me, because I want to know God more. My parents live in Las Vegas now, and they're going to a church out there. And when I go out there, I go to church with them. And my mom has this peace, and she's telling me about it. And I really don't know what to do. I'm not quite sure what to do." And I said, "You've come to the right place." I said, "Gabby, listen, can we just sit down and talk for a few minutes? Like, there's so much I want to say. It's like, I feel like there's too much information. And so we talked a little bit. I shared a little of my story when I was 19 and what life was like for me. And she shared some of the struggles. Listen, it's a weird time in the world. And to be a 19-year-old young person in college looking at what's going on in the world, in government and in geopolitical terms, and there's so much uncertainty. There's a generation of young people growing up with a lot of anxiety, and we know some of our kids are those people. So we got to talk a little bit about God and the peace that he wants to bring into our lives, and we invited her to church this morning, and she said, "Yeah, I would definitely come out." And Cameron gave her this little card with the address and information. She was so happy. And can I tell you, Gabby said, I said, "So you're coming tomorrow?" She said, 100%, I'm coming tomorrow." And so she's going to sit down and have lunch with me and my dear wife, and we're going to talk about anything and everything about the kingdom of God and every question that you have, and we're just so thankful that you're here. Isn't it beautiful what God can do? Amen. Amen. I want to talk for just a few minutes before we continue our celebration, and I want to see if anyone knows what this is. It's a piece from a roof. Man, she said that like she's a roofer or somebody in construction or someone who has a lot of roof problems. Interesting. Got it. Well said. These are shingles, but they're not just any old shingles. These are shingles that were crafted, I don't know, maybe 100 years ago or so, by a craftsman. They could have been done. Actually, they weren't done by hand. It actually says here, shingles, mill number. These were milled by someone at a mill maybe 100 years ago or more or sometime like that. Someone milled these and neatly placed them on the roof above our heads, right up here, wedged in the pieces of wood, interlocking with one another on top of this building in which we currently find ourselves today. That's right, buried underneath this roof and additions to the church and construction projects and all these other things. You can see, if you have that PowerPoint for the sermon slides, here's what it looks like. This is up in the attic. This is a picture that I took the other morning, right up there above your heads. There's a roof that someone put up 100 years, 120, I don't know when it was, decades ago, and now all the other construction's gone over top. It's been re-roofed before. It's been constructed and worked over right there, and it sort of makes me wish that these shingles could speak. Makes me wish that they could tell the story of the past 90 years. And if these shingles could speak, they would tell the story of daring at-sea rescues when this building housed the United States Life-Saving Service. What an interesting name, this building of ours. The Life-Saving Service was the first name for this building that later became the Coast Guard building. It was known as the Long Beach East End Station, believe it or not. And if these shingles could speak, they might give us a history lesson about the Roaring Twenties or the Great Depression or the post-war boom. They might even know a thing or two about when the building was abandoned by the Coast Guard and left to rot in 1948. They might tell stories of worshipers who gathered in this town as early as the 1920s or 30s, who later purchased this building from that Coast Guard. Imagine that, a building dedicated to life-saving service, as it was formerly called, becoming a church that's dedicated in the same way to life-saving service, one mortal lives and one eternal souls. That's something poetic about that, that man can't write, that only God can author. And if these shingles could speak, they'd tell stories of the many pastors and the parishioners who worshiped here in the decades that followed until one day in the 1990s, there were but a few people in these pews who gathered to worship in this building on a Sunday morning until 1996, when a young man, by God's providential hand, a young man in his 30s, showed up as a guest minister to fill in at their request. And I speak, of course, of Pastor Greg, who's a little under the weather today and not here this morning. But he and his wife, Tina, who would minister here for the next 21 years that followed, all the while these shingles rested quietly above their heads in the attic. But if these shingles could speak, they'd tell us of the life that God breathed into this congregation in those years that followed. They might even tell the story of how 21 years ago, Pastor Greg, then in his 40s, convinced another young man in his 30s to move here from Pennsylvania and to join him in the ministry. They might tell the story of how Pastor Greg and that young man's kids grew up in this church together and got married together, and now their kids are growing up in this church together. And if they could speak, they'd tell the story of people, of hurting people, of helping people. They'd tell the story of praying people. They would tell a story of discouraged people and a story of hopeful and joyful people. They tell stories of tragedy and stories of triumph, stories about 9/11, stories about Hurricane Irene and Hurricane Sandy. And they tell stories of how, for the first time in our 90-year history, we were unable to meet for months in 2020. Stories of missions and missionaries and ministers going out from this congregation, and stories of God's faithfulness in every season, whether tragic or triumphant. And this is just part of the story of the past 90 years. And many of you have been a part of this story that is the PLCC. And if this is God's doing, and if the work of His hands is here, and it's due to His faithfulness, it sort of makes me wonder what God has in mind for the next 90 years for this little congregation. Should the Lord tarry? I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 90 seconds, let alone the next 90 years. The next 90 years will likely involve some more weddings, and some more funerals, some more triumphs and some more tragedies. Some more praying people. It'll certainly involve some more hurting people under those shingles. So while we have no tangible idea of precisely how the next 90 days or 90 years will play out for community church, this community church, one thing is for sure, and this is what I want you to know this morning. Whatever plan God has, God's plan involves you. God's plan involves you. When the disciples came to Jesus and said it was getting late and there were 5,000 people in the wilderness, he said, Jesus, let them go. Maybe they can find something to eat. And he said to them, you give them something to eat. When Martha and Mary were lamenting their brother Lazarus, who was in the tomb, Jesus said, you take away the stone. You believe. When Jesus sent the disciples out to carry the good news, he told them, you heal the sick. You proclaim the good news. You bring deliverance. Freely you have received, you freely be the ones to give. And likewise, God's plan for the next however many decades of the PLCC involves you. I don't know what his specific plan is, but I know that he has you specifically in mind for accomplishing his purpose. Because here's the thing, in case you haven't figured it out. Shingles can't speak. I know it seemed like I thought maybe they could or something. No, shingles can't speak, but you can. You can tell the story of God's faithfulness, of his redemptive work. You can tell the story to others. You can speak of God's life and love that saved you and God's grace in your family and your journey with Him. You can speak of the kingdom and give voice to God's worth. You can worship Him. You can roll away the stone for someone who's feeling entombed and feeling like there's no way out. God may want to use you to say, hey, move the stone for them. I'll do what you can't do, but I want you to do what you can do and what I've called you to do and enabled you to do in this place. Deuteronomy 6:23 says, the Lord brought us out in order to bring us in. God didn't just bring you out of whatever mess or anxiety or challenges that your life was in to just have you sit here and go to church on a Sunday. He brought us out of those things, out of stress and sin and pain, to bring us into the promised land like he did with those children of Israel. He brought them out of slavery, out of bondage, out of Egypt, so he could bring them into the land of promise. And guess what? His plan involved him doing what they couldn't do and them doing what they could do. They had to go and spy out the land, right? They had to go. Sometimes they just had to stand still and see the salvation of God. Other times they had to fight for it. Sometimes they had to wait. Sometimes they had to plan. The whole time they had to trust. They had to do what they could do. And in the same way, We have to do what we can do. It's God's planting. It's God's doing. This church is, and he does what we can't do. But his plan, listen, his plan involves you. I hope you're hearing me this morning. Frank said last week, everyone needs to pick up an oar and row in the same direction. Things like children's ministry don't happen by themselves. When Kathy Butler leaves in a few weeks or a couple months, somebody's going to have to pick up an oar and start rowing and help with children's ministry. Things like Highways and Byways Outreach yesterday doesn't just happen by itself. God's plan involves you. Things like life groups don't flourish unless someone like you commits themselves to say, I'm going to be a part of this. God is doing something, yes, and he does what I can't do. And he's called for some reason in his wisdom and the beauty of his love and his grace for us, he's called us to be a part of it. Whatever you could think of in this congregation, things like VBS, things like having clean pews, they don't clean themselves. It involves somebody having a willingness to come and help, to pick up an oar and to row. It comes together because people just like you are willing to do what they can do. I wish Pastor Greg were here right now, because I think about him often. And all the lessons I learned from him in the past 21 years that we've been together, but it goes deeper than we even realize. I think it's safe to say that I wouldn't be here standing in front of you in 2022 if it weren't for Gregory John Kemper. And maybe, just maybe, none of us would be here. Again, God could have picked me up in a whirlwind or done some miraculous thing and brought me here, but instead he chose to use a tall, skinny rock drummer from Michigan to invite me to be here and to help make it happen. And it wasn't easy 21 years ago when I came. But yet, that's what he did. Greg's not our savior, but he's the vessel that God chose to use in order to help bring us to this day. 90 years after this church began. And here's the thing, and I believe this with all my heart, God's plan is to use all of you in the lives of every person who walks through these doors for the next 90 years should he tarry. Just as he used Pastor Greg or Pastor Hundevad or Reverend Rowe or a Norwegian immigrant named Astrid Lindholm. Or a real estate agent like Linda Shaw, or a praying man like Kevin Hennigan, who's out there getting the charcoal started right now. Kevin used to walk around this building. He came to the town maybe 40-plus years ago, and he used to walk around this building hoping that God would send a Bible-believing, honest-to-God follower of Christ to be a pastor in this church. He used to walk by, and there's that building. Yeah, man, it's a building, but guess what? It's not a church unless the Spirit of God and the people of God are here. And Kevin prayed, and some years later, here comes the skinny rock drummer from Michigan answering the call. And if these who went before us hadn't stood their ground and done their part over these past 90 years, someone else might not be here today. Who might not be here 90 years from today if you don't do your part? If you don't stand in the gap in prayer, if you don't speak up as God's voice to the people in your life or the people on the street out there in the public place, it's no accident that we're each here today, and it's a beautiful story that God is authoring. And you have a role to play. You have to tell the story because shingles can't speak. Acts 13 says that David served the purposes of God in his generation. You and I must do the same. So that one day, maybe decades from now, another generation of believers will be standing here under these same silent shingles, marveling at how God used this place in their lives and how God in his faithfulness has allowed this ministry to stand because you and people like you have kept their lamps lit and carried the torch in your generation. And I hope this is more encouraging and inspiring rather than burdensome to realize that God is choosing to work through and willing to work through capable people who are open to him like you. He's counting on it. He's counting on it. And in some amazing, miraculous way, he's counting on you and me for his plan to work here, for his will to be done and his kingdom to come, for his love to pierce hearts and his light to bring the light up the darkness, to bring hope to people who are hopeless and anxious and bound up. He wants to bring them out in order to bring them in. And it takes you in order to do it. That's just the way he's designed it. So I encourage you to engage him in the secret place, in your own prayer time, in your own Bible study. Engage him in each other's homes. That's what Jesus did. Engage each other in life groups. Break bread together like we're going to do today. Spend time doing that. And engage him in the public place as well. Shingles can't speak. Somebody's going to have to speak up. That's God's plan for the PLCC. Maybe even for another 90 years. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we are yours. This church is yours. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your faithfulness. Would you please help us to do all that you have for us to do and to become in this place, that we would be those who are willing to be and to build community, to put our hand to the plow. Lord, not to try to accomplish it in our own strength, but as we trust in you to do what we can't do, to be faithful to do what you've called us to do, to be who you've called us to be. All things are possible to them that believe. The scripture says that we are his workmanship, right? So that's his part. He's working in us. He's the author and the finisher, the beginner and the writer of our story and of the story of this congregation. We are his workmanship, but he says that we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So he's called us to work in conjunction with his workmanship. And so I pray, Father, that we would work in cooperation with you to accomplish what you want to accomplish in us and in the earth. We thank you for all these things. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen and amen. If you would stand to your feet, I just want to bless you and pray that the peace of God would fill you up and that you'd know his presence and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit, that it would be tangible and real, that when you read the scripture, it would be alive to you, that when you pray, you would experience God's peace and presence. Father, would you fill these people and every household represented here? Lord, you can do what we can't do. Our eyes are on you, and we're trusting in you. Help us to do what we can, Father, in your grace, for your glory. Thank you for the beauty of this day and all that it represents here. Thank you for the celebration that we're going to experience. And Father, I pray, we pray your blessing on the food. Lord, we bless you for what you've provided. And we thank you for all these things once again. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen, amen, amen. We're glad that you're here. We hope you can join us outside to share a meal together. I'll see you out there.